Well, happy Sabbath, everyone, and greetings to everyone out there joining us on the internet. Hope everyone's having a beautiful Sabbath today. I know it's nice to have the sun shining. I'm actually a little disappointed. There's still not a few inches of snow on the ground, but it's better than having 3 feet of snow on the ground, I guess. Well, if I asked everyone here this question, which I'm going to do, what the Scout motto is, how many people at the show of your hands could know what the Scout motto is? All right. It looks like majority of the people can, but if you didn't know, the Scout motto is be prepared. The Webster's Dictionary, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, defines prepared as subjected to a special process or treatment. What do we prepare for? I just quickly jotted down a few things that we prepare for in our daily lives. Trips, our jobs, how about savings, maybe retirement, maybe children's college. How about the Feast of Tabernacles? You have to have some type of preparation to that. Well, today, I would like to look at biblical examples of preparing or being prepared. The title is Be Prepared. Before we prepare ourselves, we have to establish something first. This is extremely important for any preparation that we may do. Let's turn over to Psalms 23. In Psalm 23, we're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in pastures green. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me still. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The key thing that I want to focus on here before we do focus on anything that we can do in our lives is that God is the one who works for us. We have to depend on Him for everything. We have to have that the basis in our lives. Because anything we do besides that, we are going to put ourselves and depend on ourselves then. We cannot do that. We cannot allow ourselves to get to that point where we depend on ourselves. We have to look to God for everything. Let's go ahead and also look over Ecclesiastes really quickly and see what Solomon had learned at the end of his life. Ecclesiastes 2, and we're going to read really quickly. I'm just going to read quickly through here, verses 4 through 11. Solomon here, he's talking about how he said, "I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself," in verse 4. In verse 5, "I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds for water for myself, which to irrigate a forest of growing trees." So he talks about all these different things that he did. Then we'll skip down in verse 11. "Thus I considered all my activities, which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, it was vanity, for striving after the wind there is no profit under the sun." Again, this is just focusing on if we look at things, what we're planning for, whether it's retirement, anything that we do with on our might, it's vanity. That's why we have to turn back and look, make sure that everything we're doing is following God. One more scripture we're going to turn into to make sure that we're grounded and that we are depending on God for everything. Let's turn to Matthew 6. Verse 25. Now, I'm just going to quickly summarize verse 25 through 32, and and Jesus Christ is giving this parable, and he talks about how do not be worried about various things, about your clothing, about the food, different things that people were spending their, he was telling people to warning them not to keep worrying about these things. He talks about how God clothes the grasses and better than Solomon. He feeds the birds, all these different things. But we're going to focus on verse 33 and verse 34. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So again, the focus is we have to make sure in any of our preparations, in any way, doesn't take away from our reliance on God. Now, God does want us to depend on him, but he also wants us to take action. For example, in James 2, verse 14 through 20, it talks about faith. And in verse 17, we're going to focus in here. He says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead. So if we don't have action that goes along with our faith in God, he's saying, well, what faith do you have? You don't really have any faith at all. So where there is action that we are to take, so with that action in mind, with also depending on God for everything, we're going to take a look at examples that the Bible gives us for preparation, things that we are to do. So I made a short list of a few things that we're going to kind of look into quickly before we get into the meat of a couple of topics. The first thing, and you can just jot this one down, it's offerings. In Numbers 15, verse 5, and Ezekiel 43, verse 25, it specifically talks about preparing for the offerings that they had done in those verses. Journeys. In Joshua 1, verse 11, it discusses preparing for journeys. And here's a good one I think we all need to refresh ourselves on periodically is, how about the Sabbath? The preparation day of the Sabbath. Are we preparing for the Sabbath properly so that we can have the blessing that God wants us to have in enjoying the Sabbath? Exodus 16, verse 5. How about this? Here's one that I found that was interesting. Preparing our heart. Now, you know, a lot of people talk about where does your heart lead you and all this stuff, and, you know, what is your heart telling you to do? Well, are we preparing our heart in the way that God wants us to prepare our heart? So a couple scriptures there. Our 1 Chronicles 29, verse 18, and Psalms 10, verse 17. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalms 10, verse 17. O Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble, Psalm 10, verse 17. You will strengthen their heart and you will incline their ear. Now, in the other translation I was looking at, I believe it was the King James, I said, oh, you will prepare their heart. I didn't bring that with me. I neglected to do that. Again, being fully prepared for something. And then our way. Another thing that God specifically talks about preparing is our way or our path. And there are several verses you can write down and you can turn back to later. One is Malachi 3, verse 1. Matthew 11, verse 10. Luke 7, verse 27. Now today I'm going to talk specifically about two aspects of being prepared in our lives. The first aspect, which is the most important, it is critical, is our spiritual preparation. And the second is physical preparation. So first, let's look at being spiritually prepared. Jesus Christ gave us parables to stress the importance of being spiritually prepared. So let's turn over to some of those examples. In Matthew 24, turn your Bible to Matthew 24. in Matthew 24, verse 42 through 47. Here Christ is talking about being ready for His coming. In verse 42 of Matthew 24, verse 42, it says, "Therefore, be on alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert and would have not allowed him to break into the house." In verse 44, "For this reason you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think. Who then is faithful and sensible slave who has his master put in charge, or whom his master has put in charge of his household to give them their food in proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master finds doing so when he comes." Being ready. That's preparing. You have to prepare to be ready. If you're not preparing for Christ's coming, you're not ready for it. So it's something, it's an action item. It's something we have to be doing and preparing for. Another example is just the next chapter in Matthew 25, and this one in verses 1 through 13. And this is the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, in verse 1 it starts out, "The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. They were not prepared. But the prudent took oil in their flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out and meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'No, there will be not enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came saying, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour.'" Now these 10 virgins, these are all Christians. They knew who Jesus Christ was. They knew that He was coming. They knew to be prepared. They knew they had to be there for Him and wait for Him. But they did not prepare themselves. You can't, spiritually speaking, you cannot expect someone else to prepare you for His return. This is something you have to do on your own. Each one of us. I have to do it. Every single person sitting here in this chair, each one of us, we all have to do this individually for ourselves. And God is calling us here. But are we preparing for that? It says here, the virgins knocked on the door and asked for him after he had shut the door. They know what they're missing. And he says, "I don't know you." They didn't prepare. One other example of being prepared, not just making sure that you're doing things in your lives that draw you closer to God, but in 1 Peter 3:15, oops, I passed it up. First Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." The point here is be ready to give an answer. How much time do we spend studying so that if someone asks us about our faith, that we can give a witness to that faith, that we can tell them of that hope that we have? Are we preparing ourselves? Are we continuously reading our Bibles daily to do so? So how are some ways that we can prepare ourselves spiritually? First, pray. We must be praying. We must be praying for God to open our eyes to what we read in His Word. So number two, study. If we study, but we don't have a relationship with God, if we're not praying, it's just reading a book. We're not developing that relationship with Him. So we not only do we want to read God's Word, but we need to pray that God helps us to have that understanding. We also need to fast. Number three, the third thing is fasting. We need to humble ourselves before our God. Many times humbling ourselves by fasting is a way that opens our minds to things, that strengthens us. It helps us to maybe understand something better. He may reveal something to us. And the fourth thing I have down here is serve. God, again, wants us to be of action. Everything that we do are either to be serving God or serving each other. Serving other people helps us show the love of God. It helps to learn the love of God also and express the love of God. And it gives us the chance to be ready in an opportune time to speak of what we have read in the Bible as we read in 1 Peter. So those four things, pray, study, fast, and serve, those are the four things that we need to all be doing on a daily basis to prepare ourselves spiritually. Well, the second thing I wanted to cover is be prepared for life or emergencies. Now, various emergencies happen throughout the world. Last night, a major blizzard hit the New England states. I'm sure everybody has kind of, you know, listened to the news or read about it in various fashions. They said that this storm could affect over 50 million people. Massachusetts, as of this morning, had received up to 3 feet of snow, the most that they've seen since 2003, so not that many years ago, of 27.6 inches. They banned vehicles yesterday afternoon from being on the road. So if those people weren't prepared for the emergency and they hadn't gone to the stores, it was too late. They said over 650,000 customers were without power. Now, that was one of the reports I got. I don't know if that was the most up-to-date record of how many people were without power. How about a show of hands? How many people here remember the blizzard of 78? Man, we built the best igloos that year, the best snow forts. It was awesome. There's all kinds of disasters that happen. When Sandy came through in November, you know, imagine the New England states, you know, New Jersey and that. They've been hit by the Sandy, the storm that came through, and now this big blizzard coming through. Well, that storm came through, and their people had power outages for 3-4 days in Ohio from that storm. Well, this country is very blessed, but there are also earthquakes, tornadoes, droughts, ice storms, snowstorms, floods, power outage, hurricanes, you name it. There's all kinds of different emergencies that we can individually prepare for our households. If you had to evacuate, which many people do, this is just simple things. If you had to evacuate your house, yeah, you may have canned goods, you may have different things, water and things, but are they together in a spot where you can easily get to them and escape from a coming disaster or whatever is happening? These things happen all the time. So let's turn to a couple scriptures really quickly, and we're going to learn about being prepared physically. Let's turn to Proverbs in chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. It's incredible how God has created even the tiniest of things that we can learn from. Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 11. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which have no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? And let's just stop there. You get the point after that is, you know, look at the ant. You know, it gathers its food together when the food's available. When you have food, you gather it. And they're saving it, you know, for when they need it later on. It's only been in the past 40 years or so that we as a nation have become a people who don't really prepare for just the winter. It was just 1, 2, 3 generations ago that people had the they had gardens and they farmed and they you know had maybe some beef or chickens, and they would, you know, during the summer and fall, they would prepare their food so it would last all winter long up until the next harvest. It's only been these last few generations that this sense of being this type of prepared for the coming year has gone astray. And we don't do that any longer. People for thousands and thousands of years have had to do what we're trying to teach ourselves again. So here's an example in Proverbs where Solomon's talking about learning from the ant to gather our food when we have it and save some for when we may not have food. Now, sometimes God gives us a heads up as to what is coming along. God has, in the past, He has given warnings to people of when to prepare. We also have technology nowadays where we can see storms coming. We have things that can detect earthquakes. I mean, they knew that this storm, this blizzard was coming. They've been announcing it all week and asking people to prepare and, you know, make sure you have batteries and all kinds of things, you know, so they've been warning people. Well, if it was 50, 60 years ago, people would have already had that stuff. Well, let's look at a time when God actually gave a warning for people to prepare, and turn all the way back in Genesis chapter 44. Or Genesis 41, I apologize. Now, in Genesis 41, verses 14 through 16, in verse 14 it said, "Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon, and when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I have a dream. No one can interpret it, and I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it.' And then Joseph answered to Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer.'" So Joseph was revealing, what you're about to hear is from God. So in the next verses, this is what God is telling Pharaoh. So in verse 25 through 32, I'm just going to abbreviate that. The dream was about the fat cows and the cows that were thin. And the thin cows ate the fat cows. Everybody kind of remembers that, the dream that Pharaoh had. And then Joseph interpreted the dream. And Joseph told him that the fat cows were years of plenty that were going to be coming. You're going to have more food than you have ever had to deal with each year. But then also following that are going to be some years of famine, and it's going to be the worst famine that this area has ever seen. And then in verse 33, we're going to focus there. It says, verse 33, "Now let Pharaoh," this is Joseph telling Pharaoh after he received this from God, "Now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise and set him over the land. Let the Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store them up for grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which will occur in the land, so that the land will not perish during the famine." Basically, God was telling Pharaoh, that's what Joseph said, he says, what you're hearing is from God. God was telling Pharaoh to prepare yourself for hard times that were coming, save up some food. So they did that. They harvested it and they saved it, and at the end of that 7 years of plenty, it became the famine. Now, did when Egypt saved this food, one thing to remember whenever we do anything that we prepare for emergencies, and we keep this in mind, the two things that God wants us to do is to serve Him and other people. Egypt didn't hoard all that food for themselves. They didn't tell everybody else that you couldn't have any. There were people coming in from various areas to get some of that food. They purchased some of that food. God used that food as a blessing, specifically to bless Israel. There was part of His plan. But Here is an example. You're helping other people. So as we plan for emergencies, as we prepare ourselves, we should be able to go then and help other people who need assistance. So I just thought I'd give you also, at this point, some references that you can use to plan for an emergency. I have three sources here that help prepare for emergencies that you can go to. Most people here have internet, and if you don't have internet, please feel free to give me a call if you're interested in some, you know, finding out some of these resources. But the first one is the Red Cross. So if you go to www.redcross.org, they have all kinds of sources listed. They encourage people to be ready. As a matter of fact, they say basically that everybody should have 72 hours of food, water, just different emergencies, because, you know, power outages come and you don't know how long that could last. The next website is www.ready.gov. Now, this is the FEMA website, and they also recommend that you have 72 hours of food. Just for example, some of the things that they list is have 1 gallon of water per person per day for at least 3 days, and that includes for drinking and sanitation. And that can actually add up pretty quickly, you think about that. Food, at least a 3-day supply of non-perishable food. Another one is a battery-powered or hand-crank radio. Another one is flashlight with extra batteries. How about a first aid kit? How about a whistle to signal for help? There's all kinds of different things in here. They also give some additional things. How about medications? Are we on medications? Do we wait until, you know, that day they're run out to make sure we have what we need? If we have children, do we have diapers or things for our children? How about pets? Are you prepared for emergency if your pets, you know, do you just wait till your dog has one more scoop left in that bag and then, or your cat, and then go out and buy some food? You know, and that's not really being prepared. How about having a little bit of cash on hand? What if you have to go to a hotel or, you know, and the power's out and they're having everybody pay for cash or something like that, having some cash on hand? So those are some simple things, and they have a list here. This is just a basic list that they have. It's front and back on the FEMA website. Another one that I thought was very interesting, now again, I don't agree with everything that's on this website, but the Mormons actually prepare for all kinds of things. They have, I think their average people prepare a year out in advance for different disasters, and which is not wrong. I mean, in Genesis, they prepared for 7 years, so you can't biblically say that it's wrong to have that much food. But they have all kinds of tips on preparing a 3-day kit, a week kit, different things like that to help yourself be prepared, and they give lists. And same with the FEMA website of being prepared for a snowstorm, being prepared for power outage, all these different things, and they give tips. Now, I brought a few examples of just something that we have, just a simple thing that just a couple little things to help ourselves be ready in case the power goes out, and we just, maybe the food's bad or whatever, and we just, maybe a tornado hit is going, getting ready to hit, and we need to grab something and go. So we have a couple things we have ready. One is one of these kits here, and this was we purchased off of a website, and if you want it afterwards, I can give it to you, but it was like around $70, and this is just food that is dried food that lasts 25 years, and it comes in this kit that you just grab and go. But the other thing that's cool about this kit, if I can get it open, which I should have opened beforehand, is it comes with this water bottle here that actually has a water filter in it that can filter up to 100 gallons of water. So you think about this. If you just have something simple like this ready, an emergency happens, you know, like they have out west, or maybe they're out east, or maybe they had, if they had to get out of an area and they could grab this, they could have some food for their family for a week. Another thing that is really handy in emergency, it's just something really simple, is a flashlight. But the key is the type of flashlight. How many people have here had a flashlight and the power's out and you're trying to hold the flashlight in one hand and do something with the other hand? Well, buy yourself a little headband flashlight. Oh, we have both hands free. It's just kind of something simple that you can do to be prepared, you know, to have yourself ready and you have your hands free and you can do whatever you need to do. Now, how many people here have electric ranges to cook on? A lot of people. So if the power goes out, what are you going to cook on? I mean, the power goes out for 3 days or so. Now, if you have a gas grill, you can cook your steaks on it, but you can't boil water very easily on that gas grill. So what you need to do is go out and look for like a Coleman grill and just get yourself some little containers like this. Have yourself a spare propane tank, and that way you can, because those little Coleman grills, are, you can put a pot on it and heat water up, boil water, different things like that. Some simple, easy things. Now remember, if you have something like that, you have to be in a well-ventilated, you have to be on your porch or something like that. You don't want to be in the house and use those things because you could then have another emergency that you don't want to have to deal with. And the one last thing that I brought really quickly as an example is just this. This right here is a hand crank, has a flashlight on it, and it has a little radio on it, and it's just something to simply keep around the house. The power goes out. Maybe you didn't stock up on your batteries or, you forgot to buy new ones and the old ones are drained. This is something that you can get in your exercise while doing it, too, because you're sitting there cranking it forever. But it works. I tried it out, and I just want to see, man, how long does it actually take to actually be able to use this thing? And it, you know, you have to crank it for a few minutes, and, you're getting tired doing that, so. So there's just a couple things I thought I'd give you just really quickly as an example of some ways you can easily be prepared for emergencies. Now, getting ready to start to summarize and close here. When planning for disasters, we must remember that being prepared is not a one-time action. When you get things together, you can't wait 2, 5, 10, 15 years from now to relook at the things that you've gotten together. For example, if you have water, you should recycle that water every few months to make sure that it's clean and hasn't had bacteria or, maybe algae, just simple things that are growing in it. You have to check your batteries. You have to check your first aid kits to make sure that the supplies are up to date. Your food and medicine, that their expiration dates haven't gone. If you don't have a kit like that, they'll last 20, you have canned goods. Canned goods only last a certain amount of time, so you have to make sure you're eating so many cans in a while and then replenishing those cans. Now, we can learn a spiritual lesson in our lives from being prepared for these natural disasters, these natural emergencies. Just as in our emergency kit, the batteries in our flashlight will not last forever, nor will the food, the medicine, or water. The same goes spiritually. Did we all fill our lamps when we were first baptized? Have we neglected to keep filling those lamps with that oil? How much oil is in that lamp? If our spiritual lamp is not kept up with oil, and he calls for us, are we going to have to go buy some more oil? If we have this much oil in our, this room for space of oil in our spiritual lamp, and maybe it gets down to here, and we refill it to here, and it gets down to here, and we refill it to here, it gets down to there, and we refill it to there. It's something we have to learn from. We have to try to make sure that everything that we're doing each and every day is working ultimately towards refilling that spiritual lamp. How much time do we spend working, building a business, entertaining ourselves, going to sporting events, going to school events, maybe basketball or just whatever our activities may be, going to movies. How much time do we spend doing those things compared to filling our spiritual lamp with oil? Praying, studying, fasting, and serving. Now, none of those things are wrong, but are they taking precedent in our life? Are they, have they become, and by what we do, we're going to see what's important in our lives. We may think that certain things are important, but if we're doing these, those are what's important in all our lives, and we all do that. We all have things that our spouses could pick out, or we could pick out of ourselves that, well, you're doing this, so this, obviously that's more important. So we need to try to change our lives so that we are preparing ourselves spiritually and make sure that that is where our priority is. Friends, let each one of us strive to be prepared as Christians. Most importantly, let us strive to live a life of spiritual preparation for the glorious return of Jesus Christ.